Anyhow, well, I was trying to seek the Lord on what to share this morning, and the Lord led me to some thoughts about the balancing attributes of God. And this thought came about a year or so ago when a relative of mine that has a business and has some online interaction, and somehow they engaged in some interaction, and the person at the other line wrote back and said something like this: the loving Jesus I know wouldn't be judgmental like you are. You know, we live in a culture that I believe in many ways have created a God that they can tolerate. God is a loving God, but along with love, to truly have love, you have to have righteousness and judgment. And we in our society don't like to hear much about that part of God. So that's what I'm going to share a little today of the balancing attributes of God. I'm afraid so many people's ideas of God come from song lyrics, bumper stickers, and t-shirts. And the God they've made is a real convenient and casual, comfortable God. But when I read through the pages of Scripture, I see a God that has shown his love in really deep ways. But in order for that love to be truly love, it has to be balanced with judgment and righteousness. Somebody that loves somebody will guard them and tell them the truth. You know, we live in a culture where if you say something that's the truth, they call you a hater, that you hate them if you tell them the truth. We watched a series as a family recently where they go on college campuses and discuss God and the Word of God and different things. And we just were really taken back at what people really believe nowadays about they can have their truth and you can have your truth, and truth is just relative. It's whatever you think and whatever you want. And some even said there is no absolute truth, and I'm like, you just made an absolute statement. Okay, but anyhow, that is the world that we live in, and God calls us to be salt and light in that world. And anyhow, another subject that has been really a concern of mine, you know, when you're on the road and there's a danger up ahead or some construction, they'll have a guy out there with a flag and he's kind of waving you down, bringing your attention to know that, hey, you got to better watch out for the details here. There's some danger here, and slow you down and get you to thinking. And during 2020, we didn't do much traveling, and it allowed me the opportunity. You know, we've been in a lot of churches over the years, and some guys would be very adamant about which version of the Bible that I was going to use. And I wondered why they were so adamant about that. And so in 2020, I did a bit of research and study, and I just wave a warning. Most of the versions that have come about in the last 100 years, be careful. Be careful. I'm waving a flag. We as a family have went through and read some of them compared to like the King James and those older versions. And some of them new ones, be careful. That's all I'm saying. There's some things left out. Just one word changed can change a doctrinal position. They say none of those new versions change any doctrines. I beg to difference. I see. Anyhow, that's not what I'm going to preach about. I was just waving a flag and warning. In the research that I've done, and there's a lot of opinions. It's a very controversial thing. But I just warn you. And probably what really brought me my awareness to it was in prison. When we do these prison journeys, we're in a prison for 10 hours a day and with the inmates, and we hear some sermons, but then we meet around a table, and they bring their Bibles, and I bring mine, and we work through heart issues. And as I see these men, and many of them, you know, they prayed a prayer when they were 7 years old, and they were told by the preacher that they have eternal life now. Nothing they do will separate them from going to heaven. And a lot of those people were fed a gospel that was diluted. And then they wondered why it didn't work. They didn't have the peace. They didn't have the freedom. They didn't have the joy because they didn't do what the good book said. Anyhow, and as you sit around those tables and some of them read their scriptures, and then you look at yours and you're like, whoa. Anyhow, I just issue a warning. Just be careful. There's, you know, look in the garden. What did the enemy do right there? The first thing he did, recorded, is he twisted and revised what God said. And he questioned what God said. Do you think he's changing his tactics at all? No, he's still doing that today, so beware. That's not what I'm preaching about, but God laid that on my heart. Okay, so the balancing attributes of God, we just look in Psalms, just the book of Psalms, and let's see what Psalms tells us about who God is. Psalms 26:3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. So there we have loving kindness with truth. Psalms, and I'm going to go through a lot. You don't have to turn to these. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 89:14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. So there we see four different attributes of God. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. There we see mercy, but the truth that balances that out. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Psalms 117, 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 119. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for thy comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. You catch that phrase? Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. David says it in another place. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. God brings those afflictions to keep us on the path. Psalms 137. Righteousness art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgment. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. So that's just a few verses just in Psalms, and the scripture is full of the testimonies of the Lord to help us to realize who God really is. I think if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9, I believe, really solidifies all of this together, where God himself is telling us who he is. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 is a verse that, a couple of verses there, 23, 24, and 25 of Jeremiah 9. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So there God is defining what he likes, what pleases him. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, in Psalms 19 it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And what is the testimonies of the Lord? It's God's written word of the testimonies of his work in and through humanity. And we learn so much about God by those testimonies of the Lord. What are some of those? Look at Noah. There was Noah, and God showed mercy to Noah. But the balancing attribute there was there was judgment against the wicked. That was a profound thing that happened in our world. God showed mercy to those that chose his way, and those that walked in wickedness, God judged. Or look at Lot, and how he just, I mean, Lot was bargaining with him there, well, Lord, will you save it for 50 and 40 and 30 and whatever? And God showed his mercy and long-suffering to Lot. I mean, the angels kind of had to drag him out of Sodom, didn't they? And God showed so much, and I believe it was because of the prayers of Abraham. And yet, look what happened to Sodom. The judgment against those that were set against God in his ways. Look at Moses. God's mercy to the children of Israel and how he parted the waters of the Red Sea. And they parted and they all went across. And God used that same thing to bring judgment against the enemies of God by letting the sea come back together. We see this all through Scripture. If you look through Scriptures, Brother Keith Daniels, been a good friend of ours, and he passed away with COVID back several months ago. And he said, every time you see a promise of God in Scripture, you will find a condition somewhere around those verses, that there's conditions for those promises. A lot of people like to quote the promises, but they have a hard time with the conditions for those promises. Most all of God's promises, there's conditions for those promises. You look at Apostle Paul. I mean, here he was a ruthless man, the responsible for the death of the Christians. And yet God had a work for Paul to do. And God showed mercy to Paul and struck him down and got his attention, changed his path. We see the mercy of God. And yet, in those same pages of Acts, we see where Ananias and Sapphira that were lying, being dishonest, and God struck them. And there's a lot of things I don't understand about Scripture, but we can learn about God in his ways through the pages of Scripture. I have a quote by Billy Graham that I think is so good. Many people who imagine a God of their own choosing will be horrified when they stand before the true God of heaven. By Billy Graham. And that is so true. We have two accounts in Scripture. One account there where a human encountered the presence of God and what his response was. That was John the Revelator. And then we have an angelic response in Scriptures of what the angels are doing right now while we're having our service here and what their response is in the presence of God. And I'd like to read those two accounts. If you have your Bibles, Revelations 1:12-19 gives the human response when John the Revelator encountered the presence of God. And you know, John the Revelator is one of the few that were not martyred. Oh, they tried to martyr him. According to history, they took John and they were going to kill him. They put him in a vat of boiling oil to kill him. But God wasn't done with him yet. And he survived that. But physically, he was so disfigured that it was a public rebuke to those in authority that were responsible for that. So they pushed him off to the Isle of Patmos, and that's where we got the book of Revelations. So that's the man that God used, a man that went through extreme torture. And he pens this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Revelations 1, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the front and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. So there we see John's natural human response when he encountered the holiness of God. He fell on his face. And I believe the God that many people envision in our world today is not the God that John saw there, because their response isn't that. We lack the fear of God. We had the privilege of ministering over in Landisville last night at an old camp meeting ground, you know, and I was raised, my mother sang in a trio. My dad was a construction worker, so they would send me with my mom to babysit me all week at camp meeting, okay? And so I went to a lot of camp meetings as a child. And the only thing, I wasn't a Christian then. The only thing I had to look forward to was mealtime. And you know, you would go in this line and they would put things on your tray. And I was this little boy, but I had a huge appetite. And they wouldn't put enough food on that tray for me. And so at least at that one camp meeting, they would have loaves of bread on the table with butter. And I could at least fill up on that. But anyhow, I thank God for those memories of these camp meetings where we would go and hear the word of God. And we were there last night in this big old structure, and you just envision 100 years ago what happened here. And I guess when you go around the country, I've been a lot of those, and you see the importance that people had for meeting God. They built this big structure and made a provision for people to come to get right with God. And it seems like in our culture today, we have too much of a casual approach to God. Here we see when John the Revelator got a glimpse of who God was, he fell on his face as dead. We don't hear much about that, and it kind of concerns me. And I know children, I got gray hairs, and I'm a grandpa, and I'm sounding like the grandpas when I was a kid. But, you know, you look at things a little different when you have more to look back than look forward, okay? But anyhow, I just have a concern. It's a heaviness on my heart of our just, I was with one of my cousins. I was blessed. I had three. There were three brothers that sang as a trio. Their mother was gifted tremendously, and any singing that I do, I attribute to her. I can't read a piece of music, and she would pound out those notes on the piano to help me sing bass, and I thank God for them. But we were just at a family reunion last week with one of the boys. One boy is a doctor, has been in college, took us to Israel. Really smart, okay? You can learn so much just hanging around him. And then his brother, Jerry, was a music teacher for 25 years in college. And anyhow, him and his wife, they go around all these camp meetings in the holiness. I was raised in the Holiest Church, by the way. I was not raised Mennonite. If you think I'm a little different, I am. They haven't found a box to put me in yet, okay? But that was my upbringing. And so we were just sharing there at the reunion, and he had such a concern. said, John, he said, I'm sitting on the platform, and he does the special music and all this. So he sits there, and he observes the crowd. He says, John, 30% of the people are on their electronic devices during church. I hope I don't step on anybody's toe here today. Hope the Holy Spirit does, but I won't. But anyhow, I know the young generation has their Bible on that and whatever, but he just says, John, he said, people's minds are just distracted. There's so many distractions because of all of these devices. And they go to church. He says, I don't even know why they come to church. They're on their phone the whole time. Anyhow, you got that for free too, Ike, okay? But a reverence for the holiness of God. I guess that's the burden of my heart. Because in the Bible, we see where people lost their fear of God. Things didn't go well. And that's where we're at as a nation. Okay, the next response, the angelic response to the holiness of God. These are the angels that's been with God all along, I guess. I'm not sure. But in Revelations 4, we get a picture of the angelic response of the presence of God. Revelations 4, 5 through 8. And out of the throne proceed lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like as crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And a third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So that's the response of those that are in the presence of God right now. And they're saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know, I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And if we get another picture of who God is, look at Jesus. He lived here for 33 years. And his interaction with the outcast, the sinners, those that society had pushed away, the woman at the well there, the Samaritans that the Jews hated, that's who Jesus reached out to. And that's a picture that we get of God. God, Jesus there, it says, I am meek and lowly in heart. That's who Jesus says he is. He's meek. Meek doesn't mean weakness at all. Growing up as a child, I thought meek was kind of like weak. No, meekness is strength, but harnessed under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like a horse. You know, you have this horse with all this muscles and strength. And there in Holmes County, you probably have it out here too, that they'll have this little, you know, 10-year-old girl running this huge big horse with just these little reins. That's the picture of meekness. And that's who Jesus was, submitting to the will of his heavenly Father. And that's what God would have for us, to be meek, to be strong for God, but controlled and directed by the Holy Spirit. That is the picture that Jesus gives of himself being meek. Let me repeat that verse in Jeremiah. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So that's what the Lord laid on my heart to share with you all today. And I don't know where you all are at in your journey, but maybe something that was shared today, God used to speak to your heart. And before we close, I would just like us all to bow our heads. And if God spoke to you about something, you know, there's many pitfalls out there. And if God has spoke to you about something in your relationship with Him that needs to change, needs corrected, you need to make an apology to someone, whatever it may be, I just want to use this quiet time to let you reflect and talk to God about that and determine whatever He's speaking to your life that you will follow through in whatever God is prompting you about. Maybe you're here and you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior. I beg you. I sat as a young person in church a lot in my life. I was a rebellious teenager. It's only the prayers of my mother that I didn't get into decrepit sin. And some of my cousins went, and it's like they can't get back. They can't find their way back. But I thank God for sparing me that. But at 18, God changed my life, and I thank God for that. Maybe you're here and that's never happened to you. You need to surrender your heart and life to God. With heads bowed, if there's somebody here and God has spoke to you, I won't embarrass anybody, but if God has spoke to you about something and you're saying yes to God, would you have the courage just to slip your hand up and down, signifying that you are going to follow through with whatever God's asking? Thank you. Amen. Heavenly Father, You see our hands, You see our hearts, and Lord, we have a heavy heart at times when we see the world around about us and their lack of respect for who You are. Lord, they've taken You out of the schools. They want to take You out of every fabric of our society, and we see the results of that, Lord. Lord, we just pray that we, as Your children, as Your witnesses, that we would walk circumspectly before You, to walk in the fear of God, and to see You for who You are, see You as John saw You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for this congregation. Lord, we ask You to put Your blessing on the many families here, the parents, the grandparents, Lord, that we would be faithful in our day. Lord, there's a hurting world that looking for hope. Lord, help us to portray that hope in a way that's effective. Lord, those that signified moving towards You, give them courage in the coming day to follow through with whatever You ask of them, that we would be vessels of honor for You. Lord, we just pray a special blessing on the leadership here at this congregation. Lord, give them wisdom and insight and a passion to stand on Your word in these days when there's so much compromise all around us, Lord. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, be pleasing in Your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Thanks for bearing with us. And it was a joy to meet you all and meet friends that we haven't seen for a while. And I guess they didn't, I'm going to turn this back over to you, I guess, yeah, or whoever, Mel, whatever. You're a really nice crowd. And you all were very attentive. Thank you. It was a privilege for our family to be here. And I'm sorry we're going to have to leave before we'd like to. But I just tell you that so you don't think somebody offended us, okay? Sometimes us old guys don't look at the map before we make our schedule. And anyhow, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Walk with God.